Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to The Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
It is 9:05 on this Saturday morning, June 8th, currently 16 degrees in downtown Montreal. 20 is your high today with a chance of showers. 15 is your low. Walter Assey, of course, is joining us now. 514-790-0800 for all of your renovation questions, needs, concerns. 514-800 is the text line. Walter, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Are you an F1 person? Did you go around and look at the fancy cars?
You know, I tell you, I've been to F1 once.
Mm-hmm.
And
for the actual race?
For the race.
Yeah.
Nice to watch, but it was too loud for me.
Yeah, I've been there and I've had the same feeling that this is not good for my ears.
Apparently, the older you get, the quieter you want things to be.
The older we get, the deafer and blinder we get, Walter, and the crankier we get. Again, 514-790-800. We've got some texts coming in and a call. I think, Jimmy, we have Suzanne on the line, or Susan from St. Lazare. And Susan, you have a forced air furnace issue. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, yes. Take it away.
5 years ago, Walter, we got our forced air furnace changed.
Mm-hmm.
All the ducts were cleaned, but I find that it's very, very dusty. I change the filter every 6 weeks.
Okay.
But, like, there's even, like, a coating on the windows that I have to, like, wipe off. So I'm wondering if there's anything else on the furnace that we're supposed to be checking or cleaning or... So I got the person who installed the furnace to come 2 years ago, and he said there was no problem, but it was really bad this winter.
Okay. Let me ask you the type of filter that you are installing.
Well, it's 20 by 20 by 4, so just a regular standard filter.
Okay. And your cavity that houses the filter.
Yeah.
When you put in the filter, do you have a lot of space left?
There's about an inch all the way around.
An inch all the way around. How about in thickness, mostly in thickness? Well, because there's a couple of things when it comes to furnaces. Okay, the cavity that chambers the filter. Sometimes we have the wrong measurement in length, in width, or in thickness as well. So the good news is you can get any thickness, length, or that you want. It just have to be customized.
Okay.
And you would have to order them through, you know, either a ventilation supply manufacturer, or believe it or not, as simply as going into Amazon.
Okay.
So one of the things you might end up entertaining is if the widths and the lengths are the right ones, try to go with a thicker filter. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And that, you know, HEPA filtration, that will probably help if the filter itself is a problem in the ventilation. Now, there could be other underlying factors like dust in your neighborhood because of road construction, or a neighbor that's doing a construction site. And that's really not something that you can actually, you know, entertain yourself, because you're not creating that dust. So that, you know, that you have to look at from the exterior point of view. But as far as the furnace is concerned, that's really the only thing you could do, really. I can't really think of anything else. More often than not, I've seen a lot of cases where the filter size was wrong.
Okay.
So it was not really covering the whole thing, or it was, in a lot of cases, believe it or not, was just put the wrong way, with the airflow and the arrow and everything was, so it was
no,
not really filtering.
No, I followed the arrow, yeah.
Yeah, so okay. I'm sure you're not one of these, but I would look at the size of the furnace. That's where I would start. That's the simplest way to go.
Okay. Now, how often should the ducts be cleaned? Like they were cleaned 5 years ago when the furnace was installed.
So the rule of thumb for ducts is they get cleaned once every 3 years is fine.
Okay.
Unless a major occurrence happens in the house. So if you do a reno,
yeah,
then it's very strongly recommended that you clean after the renovation the ducts.
Okay.
Okay. If you have road construction around your home, If your neighbor is doing major construction, it's creating dust. So any occurrence that could get dust in the ducts themselves.
Okay.
Now, in that process, the other thing that we recommend, if your furnace is operational during the renovation, is you change your furnace as often as you can. In certain cases, we've recommended even changing them once a day, believe it or not, in extreme cases of dust and what have you, because they had to keep the furnace on. In other cases, you change it once a week. That's how you're going to help control the dust as well.
Okay. Do you have anybody to recommend to clean the ducts?
I can recommend you someone, but off air.
Okay.
Simply because I'm not sure... who advertises on Bell Media, so I don't want to...
Yeah.
Very smart, Walter. Very smart.
Should I stay on the line?
You can, yeah, sure.
Jimmy says
sure,
yes.
Jimmy will take the we'll take the call.
Okay. Thank you very much, Walter.
My pleasure.
Hope that helped you out. Okay, we're going to get to Jimmy soon. We've got Jimmy on the line, but not yet. I do want to get this text message. Reminder, 514-790-0800 for the calls. Jimmy, stay on the line. We've got Michelle from Brassard with this question on our text line, Walter. It says, good morning. The siding of my house is mainly aluminum with some brick. I would like to replace it with acrylic stucco. Any advice on the use of this type of material for finishing the exterior of the house? Actually, that's Paul from Brassard. Why does it say Michael? It's Paul from Brassard. Sorry, my mistake.
No problem. Now, as far as acrylic is great... acrylic is great. I mean, obviously, there are things that you would have to discuss with your installer. And then where that gets to be a bit more tricky is the trims around the windows. So are these going to be decorative or not? Do look into his applications and what is his... the products that they're using as far as... because in any exterior cladding, really, it's a question of how do we evacuate the humidity. So if there's any humidity retention, how does it get evacuated? So these are the questions that you want to ask. And you want to ask about your trims. So anywhere where the acrylic is going to meet a window, what is going to be the design? Obviously, the colors is another question. Don't choose necessarily a color on the chart. What I would do, if there's a specific color that you like, if the installer have a home that he done a similar color, go see it. Because on the chart itself, it does not reflect the right color saturation. You also have to factor in the sunlight. You have to factor in many things. So when you choose a color initially, it doesn't stay the same exact color. That's why I would say specifically that you're going to go into a big surface. And so that's going to be overpowering as a color. That's important. As far as colors are concerned with acrylic, you have a huge variety, which is great. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's not really much to it than that. It's a great product. It's, the installer's work is more important than the product in this case.
I hope that helps you out, Paul and Brassard. And we had that previous call about the four stairs. Somebody wrote it on the text line. Please remember to put in your name when you text 514-800 so we know who we're talking to. Someone says, speaking from experience, we had a dusty interior with our forced air system. We sometimes forget that the air circulates in a loop. In our case, during renovations, we discovered our dryer duct was compromised, causing a lot of dust to be constantly blown between the floor and the wall joints. This is the case?
Yeah, that could happen.
That could happen. Yeah. So keep your eyes and ears open for that.
Change the filter every 6 weeks.
Okay.
But, there's even, a coating on the windows that I have to, wipe off. So I'm wondering if there's anything else on the furnace that we're supposed to be checking or cleaning or... So I got the person who installed the furnace to come 2 years ago, and he said there was no problem, but it was really bad this winter.
Okay. Let me ask you, the type of filter that you are installing...
Well, it's 20 by 20 by 4, so just a regular standard filter.
Okay, and your cavity that houses the filter.
Yeah.
When you put in the filter, do you have a lot of space left?
There's about an inch all the way around.
An inch all the way around. How about in thickness, mostly in thickness? Well, because there's a couple of things when it comes to filters. Okay, the cavity that chambers the filter. Sometimes we have the wrong measurement in length, in width, or in thickness as well. So the good news is you can get any thickness, length, or that you want. It just have to be customized.
Okay.
And you would have to order them through, you know, either a ventilation supply manufacturer or, believe it or not, as simply as going into Amazon.
Okay.
So one of the things you might end up entertaining is if the widths and the lengths are the right ones, try to go with a thicker filter. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
And that, you know, HEPA filtration, that will probably help. If the filter itself is a problem in the ventilation. Now, there could be other underlying factors like dust in your neighborhood because of road construction or a neighbor that's doing a construction site. And that's really not something that you can actually, you know, entertain yourself because you're not creating that dust. So that, you know, that you have to look at from the exterior point of view. But as far as the furnace is concerned, that's really the only thing you could do, really. I can't really think of anything else. More often than not, I've seen a lot of cases where the filter size was wrong.
Okay.
So it was not really covering the whole thing. Or it was, in a lot of cases, believe it or not, was just put the wrong way. Where the airflow and the arrow and everything was, so it was not really filtering.
No, I followed the arrow, yeah.
Yeah, so okay. I'm sure you're not one of these, but I would look at the size of the furnace. That's where I would start. That's the simplest way to go.
Okay. Now, how often should the ducts be clean, like they were clean 5 years ago when the furnace was installed?
So the rule of thumb for ducts is they get cleaned once every 3 years. It's fine.
Okay.
Unless a major occurrence happens in the house. So if you do a reno,
yeah,
then it's very strongly recommended that you clean after the renovation the ducts.
Okay.
Okay. If you have road construction around your home, if your neighbor is doing major construction, it's creating dust. So any occurrence that could get dust in the ducts themselves.
Okay.
Now, in that process, the other thing that we recommend, if your furnace is operational during the renovation, is you change your furnace as often as you can. In certain cases, we've recommended even changing them once a day, believe it or not, in extreme cases of dust. In other cases, you change it once a week. That's how you're going to help control the dust as well.
Okay. Do you have anybody to recommend to clean the ducts?
I can recommend you someone, but off air.
Okay.
Simply because I'm not sure who advertises on Bell Media, so I don't want to.
Yeah.
Very smart, Walter. Very smart.
Should I stay on the line?
You can. Yeah, sure.
Jimmy says
yes. Jimmy will take the we'll take the call.
Okay. Thank you very much, Walter.
My pleasure.
Hope that helped you out. Okay, we're going to get to Jimmy soon. We've got Jimmy on the line, but not yet. I do want to get this text message. Reminder, 514-790-0800 for the calls. Jimmy, stay on the line. We've got Michelle from Brassard with this question on our text line, Walter. It says, good morning. The siding of my house is mainly aluminum with some brick. I would like to replace it with acrylic stucco. Any advice on the use of this type of material for finishing the exterior of the house? Actually, that's Paul from Brassard. Why does it say Michael? It's Paul from Brassard. Sorry, my mistake.
No problem. Now, as far as acrylic is great, I mean, obviously, there are things that you would have to discuss with your installer. And then where that gets to be a bit more tricky is the trims around the windows. So are these going to be decorative or not? do look into his applications and what is his the products that they're using as far as because in any exterior cladding, really, it's a question of how do we evacuate the humidity. So if there's any humidity retention, how does it get evacuated? So these are the questions that you want to ask. And you want to ask about your trims. So anywhere where the acrylic is going to meet a window, what is going to be the design? Obviously, the colors is another question. Don't choose necessarily a color on the chart. What I would do, if there's a specific color that you like, if the installer have a home that he done a similar color, go see it. Because on the chart itself, it does not reflect the right color saturation. You also have to factor in the sunlight. You have to factor in many things. So when you choose a color initially, it doesn't stay the same exact color. That's why I would say specifically that you're going to go into a big surface. And so that's going to be overpowering as a color. That's important. As far as colors are concerned with acrylic, you have a huge variety, which is great. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's not really much to it than that. It's a great product. It's the installer's work is more important than the product in this case.
I hope that helps you out, Paul and Brossard. And we had that previous call about the four stairs. Somebody wrote it on the text line. Please remember to put in your name when you text 514-800 so we know who we're talking to. Someone says, speaking from experience, we had a dusty interior with our forced air system. We sometimes forget that the air circulates in a loop. In our case, during renovations, we discovered our dryer duct was compromised, causing a lot of dust to be constantly blown between the floor and the wall joints. This is the case?
Yeah, that could happen.
That could happen. Yeah. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. Jimmy's still on the line. Before we get to Jimmy, Jimmy's being really patient. It's just about that time to check in on the roads. From our CJAD 800 Traffic Center, here's Jill Fitzgerald.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
It is the Home Improvement Show, which means Walter Assey is sitting in front of me. And the phone lines are going nuts, 514-790-0800, 514-800 for all of your renovation questions. Jimmy has been waiting very patiently from Saint-Laurent. Jimmy, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Take it away.
Hi, Walter. Quick question. I just bought a home in Saint-Laurent, and it comes with a built-in air exchanger. And I've never used one of these, and I'm getting mixed reviews if I should be using it only in the winter or all year. I was wondering if you can give...
Just to understand the functionality, air exchange system is installed usually in homes that are very hermetic. That's why it became part of the code for the new construction of homes. What it does, it recycles the air inside, so it pumps in constantly fresh air. And you would need it 12 months a year. Unless you tell me that in the summer you constantly open your doors and your windows and there's a constant flow of fresh air, or you evacuate the air inside on a regular basis. So just think about it, that if you're not doing that, because your house is very hermetic and it's very sealed and insulated, you're kind of breathing the same dirty air over and over again. So whoever is sending you those signals, my explanation should make it a lot easier for you.
Okay.
That machine should be on 24/7. What it's simply doing is just getting air from the outside, inside, and what have you. This is pretty much everything is automatic. You don't have to do much with it as far as evacuation is concerned. There's the speed of the fan where it evacuates water at a faster air at a faster ratio or a slower ratio. But that's really the gist of it as far as air exchangers are concerned. Now, obviously, there is a maintenance issue. They have little filters that you would have to change. But there's not much more to it. Okay.
Okay.
In the winter, it becomes a lot more important Hopefully what you have is a heat recovery system, because that saves you money on getting the cold air inside, because it heats the air that it's bringing in before it brings it in. You need it more because we tend to be more closed off and we don't open any windows and what have you. But in the summer, it's as important.
Okay, understood. Just one question. So last week when it was about 30 degrees out, I had the air exchanger on. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that the air conditioning wasn't working as well at cooling the house. Like when I turned off the air exchanger, the house was cooling a lot quicker and a lot better.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if maybe if it was bringing in humid air, hot air from outside, and my air conditioning wasn't able to cool it quick enough.
So what you could do in this case is you decrease the intensity of the fan. So if you wanted to bring it at slower pace, you can. You know, it becomes a question of just, you know, do I need to keep on having the same? Now, the other option would be, of course, is evacuating the air a couple of times a day, and then you don't need it, right?
Okay.
So if you open the doors and the windows for 15 minutes, very humid days, you could do that. But you could play with the amount of the speed that you want the air to be evacuated or recycled.
Okay. Would you recommend leaving it at a constant low speed, or maybe running it for a couple?
The summer and the winter is two different things. I mean, there's usually five speeds. I usually in the summer would put it about speed two. In the winter, obviously, it will be more because you want more air to be recycled. But that's going to really be up to you, to be quite frank with you, and how large the house is versus how big your machine is. There's a lot of different factors that come in for the final calculation.
I hope that helps you out, Jimmy.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
All right. Happy Saturday. We've got Caroline or Caroline, I don't know which one, from St. Hubert. Caroline or Caroline, good morning.
Good morning. I was wondering if it's possible to hook up a electrical cable to a generator outside and to our furnace so that in case of a storm, the furnace would still work.
So when you say electric cable to the outside, your generator, is it a temporary one that you pull out and you pull in every time you need it?
Yes.
And your idea was to have that wire there constantly, or to pull out the wire just when you need it? I just want to understand.
Well, I was wondering how to connect that wire.
Okay. I mean, the number one thing is you have to look how powerful your generator is. If it can take that much juice to begin with for the furnace to operate, because the last thing you want is to put too much power on a generator that can't take it. So that would be your number one exercise. Do you know how strong your generator is?
No.
Okay. So, I mean, that's the first thing you want to do, because most cases those portable generators cannot take, a whole furnace to install. That's number one. If it is, you're able to install it. Now, obviously, you have to have a gauge, the right gauge of wire, and it has to be an exterior wire. And if you want to keep it there permanently, that wire would have to be buried. So there's a lot of different things, unless you're bringing it and bringing it inside and outside every time you need it, that's another story. But you can just have a wire exposed to the elements without having it protected. And there are different wires that are made for exterior. There are wires that are made for underground. As well. So it's definitely, as an advice, I would get an electrician, maybe to do the setup for you.
Okay.
But before you do all of that, look at the power of your generator, look at how much your furnace requires, and see if that study makes sense.
Do you do that kind of work?
We can assist in that kind of work. It's not a specialty of ours, but I can definitely refer you to the right people if need be.
Does that help you out?
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great Saturday. Okay, we have a text here, Walter. I'm not sure what this means. You'll figure this out for me. It says, hi, I'm from Amy from Ville-Saint-Laurent, And during reno, she found some zonolite insulation in the attic. I'm guessing that's a problem if she's writing about that. Zonolite.
Yeah, okay. What's the question?
I guess that's the question. Is that an issue? Is that a problem?
I mean, look, when you find an insulation that is questionable, before you decide if it's an issue or not, you have to have it analyzed. You send it to, there's many companies that do that. It's not actually expensive. You can send it to Jess4. You can send it to Air Conseil. You can send it to, there's many, many, Inspexol. So they take the sample from you. They send it to the lab and they give you exactly the characteristics of the insulation. And they tell you if it's an issue or not. Chrysolite is another one. Asbestos insulation is another one.
So, these are all the problematic, potentially problematic ones.
Potentially. That's the key word is potentially.
Right, because asbestos, it's fine if you don't move it, right? Is that the thing?
That's correct. That's exactly it. But even with asbestos, the reason I say it's worth the investment is because there are thresholds in asbestos content that are acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So below these thresholds, you don't have any issue because even if it becomes friable, it's not toxic or bad for the health. That's why I'm saying sometimes we over panic things and we say, okay, let's save money on the test. But I mean, the test is a few hundred bucks.
The test is a few hundred bucks versus the replacement.
If you bring it there, it's maybe like $75 or $100. So we're talking about peanuts in comparison to how much you have to pay to get rid of something that you might, overanalyze for no reason.
So you're saying get the test done.
Get the test done.
Who does the test?
Many companies. I said, there's Inspexol, there's Jess4, there's Air Conseil, there's Enviro Option. So they all do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring it to them, it's cheaper than them sending you a rep because they will send you the travel.
So what do you just grab a piece and...
What you do is you put a mask.
Yes, the important.
P110 mask. You wear gloves. You get a Ziploc bag, something that you could seal, or a Tupperware, whatever you prefer. And you take a piece and you put it inside and you seal it. You make sure that it's sealed. And you take it to the lab, and then you will have the result within a few days.
But with the gloves and the mask, repeat the name of the mask, the type of mask?
P110. So you don't put that flimsy surgical mask. That doesn't work. Because don't forget, you're talking about microscopic fibers.
I was going to say.
So these things can go through just a regular mask.
Now that we've terrified everyone, I'm kidding. 514-790-0800. Again, call us that for your questions. We've got people texting in 514-800. I know Bob is on the line. Don't go anywhere, Bob. For now, though, it's 9:29, which means it's time for your CTV News Update.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back. Walter Assey is, of course, sitting right in front of me. And I learned so much about you, Walter. I just found out, what did you just tell me? You haven't had sugar in 3 years?
Yeah, that's correct.
So you're full keto.
I'm full keto for the last 3 years. No bread, no sugar, no rice.
And he looks amazing. So whether something is working for you. And you said no bread, no rice.
Correct.
Wow. Correct. Wow.
It's a way of life, right?
It is.
You have to, to get into it at the beginning is difficult, but you actually start embracing it and liking it with time, and then you eventually start bragging about it.
Yeah, I know. And listen, we're on the air. And much like the home improvement of your house, it's the home improvement of your physical being. All right, let's get to Bob, who's been waiting very patiently on the phone. Bob is from NDG, and Bob has an issue with basement crumbling. The cement is crumbling, Bob. Is that it? Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Take it away.
Well, I have in my basement, I'm starting to see crumbling of the cement floor because it's just exposed, and garages having small little holes in the cement, and it's starting to crumble a little bit, the sandy and some of the little rocks are coming apart, so I always vacuum once a year. But it seems to be getting worse every year as the years go on.
Okay, so Bob, let's start with your question. I understand what the situation is. Tell me what is exactly you'd like to know.
Well, what would be the cause and what would be the repair?
Okay. So, I mean, when the water goes into the concrete, usually the humidity dissolves the limestone salt contained in the concrete. And that gets carried to the surface. So when the humidity evaporates, first of all, the salt will crystallize. And then you'll have that granular deposit. And then the concrete will finally crumble. That's pretty much the cause, if you want the quick answer on that. Having said that, we look at different things. Number one, we look at the thickness of the slab itself.
Okay.
Number two, we look at how high your water table in the area you're living in. So do you live next to a body of water?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are you like the lowest house on the street? Do you have a sump pump in your basement?
No sump pump. Okay. Was never required. But the level is the same level as every other house on my street.
Okay. Do you know the thickness of your slab?
No, I don't.
Okay. So, in short, what's happening is that your slab is getting wet. That's typically the cause. It's water. Okay. And cement is a porous material. So once the water gets into it, that's pretty much the reaction you have. So one of your... one of the things you would might need to consider is, do I need a sump pump in my home? Or where is this water coming from? If we would have had, for example, some type of water backup or flooding, and that was not adequately dried or mitigated, that could have also shocked the cement, saturated it, and eventually caused it to crumble. So I don't know the history there. Is there any history of flooding or...
No history of flooding.
Okay. So, again, it's probably the underwater level is high, and or the cement slab itself was not poured adequately to the adequate thickness. Okay? You want the slab to be around 5 inches. And in the olden days, how old are you?
In the 50s.
50s, yeah. So in the olden days, they didn't necessarily go with that. So what they would have done is 3 inches, if you're lucky, 4 inches. And on top of that, in the old days, they didn't put geotextile underneath. So
right. It's
way more exposed to the humidity of the soil than you would want it to be.
Okay. And what would a repair look like?
Apart
the basement, all the walls, and...
What you want to do is, number one, stop the cause. Because if you repair, you're going to constantly be fighting this losing battle. So I would look into possibly installing a sump pump. And what that would do is will decrease the pressure of the water under, and that would be the number one thing. And then number two would be, obviously, you flake all cement, and this could be repaired if the crumbling is within reason. So, I mean, the repair is not a biggie if it's not deep enough.
Right.
But again, before I would do the repair, I would go straight to the cause first.
To the cause.
Does that help you out?
Yes, and who are the experts, or where would they be called so I can look them up?
So, I mean, for some pumps, you're really calling plumbers.
Right.
Some plumbers, not everyone likes to do it.
Right.
And for cement, we call them in French cimentier, or anybody that, you know, is in the masonry business, like cement business. No, I shouldn't say masonry.
Okay.
But in French, we call them cimentier, like... they do slabs and garages and stuff like that.
Okay, thank you, Bob, so much for calling in.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much.
We have time before traffic for a text message. 514-800 is the text line. 514-790-0800 is the phone line. This is from Ines from Mont-Saint-Hilaire. Walter Schiritz. Good morning. I have a thermopump, a Daikin or Daikin. Am I saying which
Daikin?
One? Mini splits installed since for the last 2 years. I'm wondering what kind of maintenance I should be doing yearly for best efficiency.
As far as splits, it's really the filter. There's not much, to clean the drain, make sure the drain is in good working order, and to replace the filter. There's not much more to it than that.
That's the yearly business?
Yeah. And every 2 to 3 years, it would require a complete cleanup. But that usually I would recommend to hire a ventilation expert for that.
Follow the experts there. Okay. Another text that just came in from Mike. Hi, Joanne. Can you please ask Walter this question? I had a propane fireplace installed in my old wood fireplace. The top facade of the new fireplace is cast iron. I would like to know if I can install matching stone brick over the cast iron. If so, would I need special glue? He wrote glue, but I'm guessing it's glue for the stone bricks due to the heat.
I have not installed. I have not installed on fake stone on metal before. I'm gonna need to get back to him of what could adhere. So my quick impulse will tell me is it's too much of a flat surface not to abrasively change.
Is the heat a factor there?
I'm not so much worried about the heat itself. Because we can, there's no factor of heat. Like as far as the materials are concerned, there's no factor for that. There's no worry there. My main worry is the adherence. So before I answer that, I'll do some research on that, if you don't mind.
No, Mike will not mind. I will not mind as well. The phone line is 514-790-0800. I know Ron is waiting patiently on the line. Jimmy, do you think we have time for Ron? Okay, we'll start with Ron and then we'll get to traffic. Ron is from Conzac. Ron, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Take it away.
I'll try to be quick. Overall, what I have is a fairly new exhaust fan in my bathroom upstairs. So it's a three-story building, well, basement, main floor, and upstairs. And essentially what's been happening, apparently there was previously never a duct going through the roof. It was just exhausting through the attic, which was not very good, and it was clogged. And so we had that all changed last fall, and an actual sort of vent was installed through the roof, and it bends around. Apparently it was the type that was needed to for that application. I've just noticed now twice since it's been installed during weird rainstorms, and I say weird because it's not every rainstorm, and it's rained a lot. Like two nights ago, there was a little bit of water that trickled in, and you could see it just drip down a little bit from the vent. And I'm just wondering, is this a directional wind that could be putting water into the vent when it's a certain wind direction, or is it perhaps leaking? I don't see water any other time but those two times that it ever happened. So before I even go in the attic and see maybe what the source is, I'm just wondering what your thought is on that, Walter.
Walter and Ron, we're going to take a quick break for traffic. Stay on the line, Ron. Walter will think of an answer because it is 9:45 and it's time to check in with our CJD Traffic Center. Here is Jill Fitzgerald.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back. Ron is still on the line. And Ron, we did not forget you. Walter has the answers to your questions about your exhaust fan and the water dripping in, right? Walter, take it away.
Yeah. So, Ron, you said that you had that before your fan, the exhaust fan was going in the attic, right?
Say again, Walter.
Your exhaust fan, the pipe for the exhaust fan was in the attic before, and now you...
Yes.
Through the side of the house?
No. We actually just had, believe it or not, there was an old exhaust fan. It was going into the attic and just blowing into the attic. The mesh over it was clogged. So really, the exhaust fan wasn't working. So we had an actual hole made through to the top of the roof, right direct, the shortest route.
Okay.
And it's to code. It's like an elbow type, not an elbow, but a gooseneck type vent that was put on the roof. And mm-hmm. It was all... tarred and everything properly with the shingles and all that. So that's what we have now. So most of the time when it rains, never get anything through there. But twice now, it happened just two nights ago. And it happened maybe, I can't remember it a lot, but it was like a weird storm night one night. And you just got enough water maybe to say, not even, the 100 milliliters of water at most. that maybe came in and it just dripped in. It was like a slow drip.
Okay.
And then it stopped.
And let me ask you this. When the water went in, were you with the fan in use?
No.
It was not in use.
No, because it only happened during the night while I didn't even know what happened. You know, that's how slow it was.
Okay. So usually when that happens, it's a problem with the flashing from the roof. There's two reasons why this might occur. One of them is if it's happening while the fan is in use, typically it's because the fan is not strong enough to extract the condensation out, so it's the condensation is technically backing up.
Oh, I see what you mean. So during the use, okay?
That's correct. So that's why I asked that question.
Yeah, because 100 CFM. 150 CFM on a fan, by the way.
That's not a very strong fan.
So I apologize, I have the wrong number. It's a stronger one. Would that be, what number would...
I mean, 300 would be my start, but, again, it's all going to boil down to the span and the length and everything else.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, and the size of the bathroom as well.
Yeah.
Having said that, in your case, what's probably happening is either when the roofer installed it, there's an issue with how they did the flashing, or something is not right in the installation from the roof itself. Now, the reason you say directional, it's because even in roof problems, they don't usually leak in problematic areas unless there's certain wind, how the droplets land into certain areas with hydrostatic pressure that brings it in. So there's a lot of factors involved. So I would start with the roofer that installed it. So hopefully you did install hire a roofer for that, right?
Yeah. And it is an insulated, I don't know if it's five or six inches.
In the summer, I'm not really so much worried about the insulated part. Because you're saying it's been happening during rain, that means it's in the summer. That's why I didn't even talk about the insulated part, because the condensation in the summer is not much of a factor as much as in the winter. But because you're associating it immediately with rain... that for me is telltale sign that it is definitely the installation.
And Walter, it was really just two freak windstorms that had even happened. Like most of the time, it could rain buckets for days, never see a drop.
Correct.
But those two specific ones, like you said, factors, right? The wind, everything.
Correct.
So obviously, yeah.
Correct. And that's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, for me, it's enough to say, okay, there is an issue. And the issue is really coming from the roof. Because of the rain factor and the directional rain factor, it cannot be anything else. So that's good news for you, is you can zero in on the installation and the type of elbow you installed.
Ron, I hope that helps you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, from Ron to Tom. Tom is in Laval, and he has grout falling apart. Tom, that doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound good at all.
Take it away.
Thanks for having me on. So we live in a fairly new townhouse in Laval, and it was built in about 7 years ago, 2017.
Yeah.
And I noticed after like 2 or 3 years that the grout in the facade of the building, it's the larger bricks, was falling apart. So I called the builder, and he said it's maintenance and that I would have to take care of it myself. So I just let it go, and a few years later, I spoke to some other people, and they said that it's not normal, and it keeps on just crumbling away. And it's been 7 years, and it's just getting worse and worse. Even under the door, it's non-existent, the grout anymore, between the bricks. And I'm wondering, is that normal, or...?
You said between the tiles, not the bricks, right? When you say the grout, you mean the grout, in which area are we talking?
The mortar. I mean mortar when it's
around your bricks, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, the mortar. Which areas are we talking about? Like, are these areas next to a gutter downspout or anything like that?
It's between the windows and the garage. Mm-hmm. And what? The whole facade of the house, because it's townhouses, so they're all connected.
When was the house, the exterior cladding installed, when the house was built? Was it installed in the winter?
I'm I'm not sure. We took possession probably, well, we took possession in late December.
Late December. Okay. And it's crumbling, and you see that crumbling, it's generalized, right? Like, do you see any efflorescence or white residue, chalky residue?
I'm sorry?
Do you see any chalky residue, like any white residue on the bricks?
Yes, on the top part.
Okay, so that
it's all
means
across my all across the townhouse is the same thing on our row, because it's all row housing. So our row, yes, I see that.
Okay, so that means there is water saturation in the mortar itself that's causing it to crumble. That means there's an underlying cause of humidity that would have to be investigated.
Who can I get to investigate something like that?
I would start with the bricklayer to begin with. Or a general contractor that is specialized in water damage that could look at this as, you know, more from a general scope of things.
And if that's the case, do I have any recourse, or the fact that
5 years you do, if you have the documentation that you did things before, you might. So what you do is you call the APCSQ or ACQ, depending on what the builder was, who was he insured with, and you start from there.
Tom, I hope that helps you out. That's all the time we have. Before we go, thank you, Tom. I just want to remind you that tomorrow's another edition of Weekends with Joanne Vrakas. We're going to be talking about why our kids are so overweight, where you can save money on your weddings, and is some level of OCD good? What's your weird thing? And before we let Walter go, Walter's got a very special happy birthday.
Yeah, it is my Princess Julia's 9th birthday today.
Daughter. 9 is such a good year.
She is such a cutie pie.
What is she into now? Is it like Barbies? Is that still a thing?
She's into Barbies, and she's into giving her daddy a lot of trouble.
Ah, yeah. Well, more to come, I guess, for that.
More to come, exactly. More exactly.
All right.
So I give her a lot of kisses, and I wish her a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Julia. Thank you all so much for listening. Walter will be back next Saturday. Again, I'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with Jimmy and Don, of course, for another edition of Weekends with Joanne Vrakas. Speaking of Don, here she is with your CTV News update. Bye.